One giant leap for mankind.
What's going on, interesting humans? Welcome to the podcast where we talk to seemingly ordinary people who are anything but ordinary. As always, my name is Bibi Shavorta, and with me is my co-host,
Sarah Punawala. I had to give that little break for people to like already call out my names before I do.
Okay. So you're just drawing out.
I'm imagining a paparazzi around me. Like people are just like, whoa.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's great that you're in a great mood today. And I'm definitely excited to do this episode. And, you know, again, it is always such a blessing to be able to talk to people that we think are interesting and share their stories and share their journeys and just really get into the mind of someone that is really, really fascinating. And, Sarah, today, you know, will you go ahead and tell our listeners who we have with us today?
We have the beautiful, the gorgeous, the strongest, my vivacious. Best friend, okay, vivacious, <all right. laughs> Lindsay Seligman, if you don't already know.
Yeah, you should have had like a drum roll before you said the name.
I know, right?
I know. Because it was kind of building up to something. It was like a crescendo there and then, you know, just like,
waiting for the drum roll.
Right, you know? But hey, Lindsay, how are you doing today?
Good. Oh, that was such a nice intro.
Thank you, thanks for joining us. Thanks for doing this with us. And we are so excited to talk to you. We're so excited to, you know, get into your mind and see the world a little bit through your eyes, right? And start to unpack, you know, why you're so interesting, why you're so fascinating. And before we do that, though, I just want to say it is a really nice day out today. It's been
God, it's gorgeous.
You know what? Yeah. It's been hot recent. It's been like summer vibes.
I know.
It is only May, right? It's ridiculous.
It is. That's true.
Can we just talk about that for a second? How ridiculously hot it's been like the past few days? I think yesterday was like 34 degrees.
It was. And it was sunny and it was
tropics weather. Like, what's going on?
And it's funny because I got a weather warning, a notification on my phone that it says that it's going to be extremely hot and humid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all the more reasons for me to be outside. This is perfect.
Right?
I was literally working all day outside on the balcony. I didn't even care about getting tanned. And it was blissful.
I hope you put some sunscreen on, though.
I did. Okay, especially on my face.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
It's been really, really hot. And it's been like, what's going on? Because it's May. And for people who are still wondering if climate change is a real thing, right?
Yeah.
Just think back to a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, a decade ago. You wouldn't be having this temperature in May, right?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It's changing so – it's like I was listening to something during the week and someone said one of the reasons – I think it might have been Jimmy Kimmel or someone.
Mm.
And he was saying in his monologue or something that one of the reasons we're not taking climate change more seriously is that it's like we're on a train track and we're being like a slowly moving train is coming toward us, and it's kind of like we don't feel the urgency because the train is moving so slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get hit, you will get hit.
That's
right?
True.
Whether it's slow or not,
it's coming.
Gonna do some damage, right?
Right.
And I think it's because it's not dramatic, like, you know, like that, right?
Right.
That
right.
We feel like, you know, we got time, we can deal with this later. But if you think about it, right, the weather extremes are getting more frequent and it's getting worse year on year.
That's true. I mean, I'm not gonna complain because come on, it's hot outside, it's perfect. But yeah, looking at it holistically, of course.
Yeah,
it's scary.
It's definitely something to note and notice. But again, we're glad for the great weather. I mean, it is Canada, and you know, very stereotypically, everyone thinks Canada is freezing all the time. So
time to change your mind.
Right. When we do get, like, you know, warmer weather, you know, people can go outside and take your bike out and stuff.
Absolutely. And from what I know, our guests absolutely enjoy summer as well. I mean, the first time I met her was in summertime. And okay. I remember her just frolicking, just happy, full of energy. I don't know if it was the summer or if it's just her. But is that true? Are you a summer person?
That's so funny you say that. I'm a winter baby. Like, I was born in February. I would say, yeah, like, I think spring is my favorite season because it's like that transitional time. Mm-hmm. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. But it's like, it's just so nice when it's this nice out. It's such a change. And I feel like we haven't been this way in a year. So everybody's like, oh my God. Like, you're right. Like, it is crazy. I think the official start date to summer is what, like June 23rd or something
right,
like that?
Right.
22nd. But yeah, it really does feel like summer. So I'm in complete agreement. I'll take it. But it is scary when you think about like climate change as a whole.
Yeah, because for me, it's like if we have these temperatures in spring, where do we go from here for summer? Like, what kind of temperatures are we looking at for summer? That should bother you a little bit.
Is it going to be colder in June? Hope not.
I mean, at this point, I don't even know what to expect anymore.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just something that was on my mind coming into the episode. But no, let's get back on track here and talk about, you know, something that I really, really enjoy, which is a segment that we love here on the podcast, an interesting human story from around the world. Okay, so today's story, and before I get into it, I want to ask you, Lindsay and Sarah, to your mind, what is one of the more difficult aspects for people who've spent some time in prison, right? What is one of the more difficult things about getting reintegrated into society for them?
Oh, I think.
What would you?
I would think it just getting back to like your regular routine, to start seeing people from a different lens. I mean, it really depends how they're being treated over there in the prison as well, right? If it's through abuse, if it's rehabilitation. But basically, just getting back to that normal life, I would think would be the hardest to do that.
I agree. And Lindsay, would you say the same pretty much?
I would say the same. Like,
right.
I can't even.
Yeah, it's quite something, right? And one of the things that help you get back to a normal life is your ability to get a job so you can start 100%. Earning so that you can break that cycle, because you go to jail for committing crimes, you come out, you can't get a job, so you're hungry, you're desperate, so you commit more crimes, then you go back to jail. I mean, this stuff is documented, right? Mm-hmm. It's stuff that's happened to a lot of people, right? But unfortunately, right, society, what we do when people have come out of jail is we're more likely than not to not give them a chance, right? Once they have that, you know, sort of
stigma. That criminal background kind of like on your
it's
record.
Like, yeah, oh, you've got a record. You can't work here. Sorry, we can't give you a job. You're an ex-con. We can't give you a job. And so that's a real thing, right, for a lot of people. And so today's story is about Hector Guadalupe, who, you know, by the... when he was a teenager, you know, he lost both parents already. He spent like a decade in jail for drug trafficking. And one of the things that a lot of people turn to when they're on the inside is they turn to physical fitness, because there's really not much else to do, right? You can either, you know, read a lot of books or do a lot of, you know, exercise or both, right? And so Hector started to do a lot of physical fitness, and he was hoping that when he got out, he would be able to work in like a really big gym, right? And that would be his job. But of course, like we were just discussing,
it wouldn't be that easy.
He came out and nobody would touch him, right? Nobody would hire him because, again, ex-con, you know, you've been to jail and all that. So what he did was he, you know, started his own thing. He started his own fitness outfit. And then he started a nonprofit. called A Second You Foundation. Oh. And essentially, since they started in 2016, over 200 people have graduated and got their physical fitness licensed training, training licenses, I would say. And most of them are formerly incarcerated people, right? So this is someone who's been to jail, come out, realize how difficult it is to get a job. And then there's this whole pipeline of people in the prison system who've turned to physical fitness, right, while they're inside. And then they come out and they have nothing going for them. No one will hire them, right? And he helps them get certified, like physical fitness training certified.
That's amazing. Right? That's amazing. And he's not just turning his own life around, but even the people around him, and being considerate about others who are maybe struggling through the same experience that he went through. That's so motivating. That's so inspirational. And
that's it.
Honestly, a big shout out goes to this guy for turning lives around.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, it is, as society, we're very good at the criminalization and punishing part. We're not as good at the rehabilitation and reintegration.
Right, the accepting.
So someone, someone does something, they go away for a while, they take their punishment, right? Mm-hmm. What happens after that? It's like a kid does something, right? And he gets a timeout. Do you leave the kid in timeout forever? Mm-hmm. No, at some point, you let the kid back into the family room, they watch some TV again, and they become better. They learn from that, right?
I think the best definition for this person would be that it's not the past that defines him. It's the present that speaks to him.
Right. Right. And he's not just doing this for himself. Like you said, Sarah, he's going, you know, over and beyond and making sure that other people don't necessarily have to go through what he went through, right? He started his own thing.
Right.
And now over 200. Imagine, just think of the exponential effect of empowering 200 people. That's not just 200 people. Mm-hmm. That's 200 people with lives, with families, who have children already or who are going to have children. The quality of lives of all those people are going to be touched by that, right? These are people earning. So if you think about it, right, by helping 200 plus people thus far, his reach has probably gone on to like the thousands of people, because these are the people whose lives directly and indirectly have been impacted by his decision to say, I'm going to break the cycle.
And the likelihood of these people paying forward is very high as well, right? You never know. There might be one or two of those who are probably already aspiring to have their own nonprofit organization. And again, you know, just keep paying it forward from there. Crazy.
There you go. There you go. The ripple effect is really amazing. So I thought, you know, I came across this story and I thought, yeah, no, this is worthy of discussion. This is worthy of celebration, and people who are doing stuff like this, overcoming your own adversity and then helping others to do the same.
Absolutely. Right?
I think is just the best form of heroism that I can think of.
Of course,
it's so easy to think your job is done when you've overcome your own adversity, right? Mm-hmm. But to say, I'm going to overcome mine and then I'm going to help others do the same.
No, great pick on this one, BB. This was definitely a really nice story. And I'm sure our listeners are enjoying it too. What do you think of this, Lindsay?
I think it's incredible. It's so beautiful. And, you know, I agree with what you're saying. It is but then you never think, like, actually they're a human being and they made a mistake and they were maybe not born into the best circumstances. And
like I was saying, this guy had lost both parents by the time he was a teenager. So imagine, like, no family support, right? He probably fell in with the wrong crowd, right? And that was it. But then we criminalize and we don't take into context all of this stuff, right? And would you say this person is a bad person and forever and ever, for the rest of their lives, they're going to be paying for, you know, whatever crime they committed? And it's like, no, at some point you have to look at the individual and say, is there hope for this person? Is there redemption for this person? How do we as a society work to help them reintegrate, right? Into culture, into community, right? And these
absolutely.
Are the things that we're just not looking into. These are the conversations we're just not having, right? So yeah, I agree with you, Lindsay. So yeah, that's the interesting human story from around the world today. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed sharing it with you. We are going to go on a quick break at this point, and we will be right back to talk to Lindsay. So don't go nowhere.
Don't go nowhere.
Hi, I'm Julia.
Hi, I'm Caroline. And we host a podcast called Not Nice.
Not Nice.
We are two women, and we are both Asian, and we're
Asian.
Both Canadian-ish. Mm-hmm. And all those things add up to nice.
Caroline, what's our podcast about?
Our podcast is about being not nice, mm-hmm. but in all the ways that defy what you want nice to be.
Yes, it's not about being rude or being an asshole. It's about being honest and unapologetically yourself.
It's about being complex and nuanced in how you see the world.
It's a brand. It's a concept. It's a lifestyle.
It's a negation.
Yeah, and really not giving a fuck.
Because let's face it, nice feels a little bit like an insult in how basic it is. Do you want to be called nice?
Nice is boring, no offense. So on our show, we talk about things like the Fempowerment Hotel, Hotel Xena,
or AOC's Vanity Fair cover.
Mmm.
And so many other things in culture that are trying to push the boundaries of what is acceptable and what is not.
Yes.
We talk about those things.
So subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. We're called Not Nice with Julia Bennett-Chan and
Caroline Long.
And we release episodes every Tuesday.
So, you know, we can say things like, see you next Tuesday at the end of every episode.
See you next Tuesday.
Welcome back, Peace. I hope you guys are around, still sticking around, interested to talk to Lindsay and get to know her on a deeper level.
Yeah.
I can't wait to just get this started and just start asking her so many questions. I'm like looking at her right now, and in my head, I'm just like, who are you even? Like the person that I knew, Lindsay, from 10 years ago.
Did you guys work together at some point?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And my knowledge was limited to that until we left. So we worked together at Sears a long time ago when it was open. And we worked at this 2.0 innovation lab that was created at that time. And it was a small team of like 10 people, and Lindsay was one of them.
Okay.
And we got to know each other from there. I think, Lindsay, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were in the marketing team, I believe, at that time. And that's what I remembered her, just that fun person, the marketing person, the stigma that is attached to a marketer as well, who's so, you know, communicative, creative, and fun. And then from there, I think we when we left the company, I just followed her on Instagram, and I discovered so many more things that were going on in her life that I didn't know of at all. So I want you to take on from there, Lindsay. I don't want to spill too many beans at this point.
So I think, you know, just so we guide our listeners through this, you know, properly, let's go all the way back to the beginning. So, you know, again, welcome, Lindsay, and I'm really thrilled to talk to you about this. And I think where I want to start is, you know, what was growing up like, you know, where did you grow up, you know, all of that stuff. Let's start there.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you very much for the introduction. That was really sweet. So just to like speak to Sarah's point, we did work together almost 10 years ago, which I feel like so old, which is really funny too, because I'm online now. I'm like, I feel like the thing for millennials is we would make fun of boomers and be like, okay, boomers, but now Gen Z's making fun of millennials, calling us tubes. Have you guys heard that? Have you heard that?
Yeah.
I heard that. I heard that briefly, and I was like, what is that even?
Right? It's like a nerd.
But like, I feel like because there's a stereotype of, especially like millennial women being like, bae, girl boss, like, I'm a plant mom, and all these things, and Gen Z just, like, rolls their eyes, like, oh, you're such a chook. It's like, so I'm like, oh, drag, get dragged for, like, loving Olivia Rodrigo.
Is it just me? Am I just a little salty about this, or
is it just
It seems like, we're getting less and less creative with the insults and the nicknames as we go. So at least with boomers, like, you knew where that came from. It was like, you know, there was a depression, there was a war and stuff, and then there was a bunch of baby boomers, and then we shortened that to boomers, right? And so you would think that the folks coming after us would be like, huh, millennials, we could find something. But what is a chug? What does that even mean?
I have no idea.
Not creative. I don't get it. Like, when you say boomer, I get what you mean. Like, I know. Okay. A baby boomer. Okay. Millennial is like, okay.
They have their own lingos going on.
Right? It's like a whole different language, right?
I think that's the point, though. Because I think it's from TikTok. And I think it's like Gen Z being like, oh, we don't even care. Like, you're chill.
Right.
It's like,
right.
You know, you're not going to get it anyways.
It's like watching Mean Girls Part 2.
Right? It's like getting Mean Girl. It's like getting Mean Girled by.
Can I just say, one of the stereotypes, you're like, oh my God, I hate my 9-to-5. I'm so not cut out for a corporate job. Let me just go on my podcast and complain about it. Like, oh my God, this is too much.
Start my own business. Oh my God.
This cut. But anyway, it's
ridiculous. Funny. But you know what? Stick around long enough, and the folks coming after the Gen Z.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Stick around. It's fine, right? Because that's what the baby boomers were like. Okay, all right, fine, no worries. Call us whatever you want. And now the millennials are getting it from the Gen Zs, right? And whatever's coming after the Gen Zs, they're gonna get it. They gas up.
Yeah, for it.
That's how life works, and I'm gonna be here for it. My popcorn. That's gonna be good.
Podcast is gonna be the first calling this out. They better listen.
This is incredible. But yeah, so going back to your origin story, you know, what was growing up like for you?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so I grew up here in Toronto. I had a really good childhood. I had really good parents, like a younger sister, and I don't know if there's like anything crazy interesting significant about my childhood. I guess I will say one thing is that I grew up with a mom who always worked and who always kind of led by example, and that way of like, and always sort of instilling that into myself and my sister of like, you always have to work. You always to be like financially independent, even if you get married or whatever. Like, you have to work. Or like just that kind of like, not like saying it so often, but just kind of like leading by example, but
just showing it, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And that was like a huge thing. So that's kind of like what I guess I take away now when I think about the example that she said,
that's really great, because that, I think your mom, part of what she was doing there was trying to make sure that you change the narrative, that it wasn't going to be about, you know, you hopefully getting married, like you were just saying, to someone who could support you. It was like, yeah, if you have dreams of your own, you're going to support those dreams by yourself. And then if you happen to end up with someone, then they can compliment you, but they're not going to be responsible for making your dreams. It's not like a Prince Charming situation, or you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm doing my thing and you're doing your thing, and together we can do something even better, or we can support each other, but it's not going to be like I'm waiting to be rescued or saved or anything like that. Which is a great lesson. I think your mom was making sure she taught you.
Yeah. For sure. So that's kind of like what I take away from my childhood.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And so, you know, you grew up in the Toronto area, and then what were your choices with, you know, education and what you chose to do with that? You know, what were your choices with career, what you chose to do with that? Can you take us through a little bit of that? And then I'm sure Sarah will be able to jump in at the point where you meet at Sears and tell me what that was like as well. So
yeah.
But leading up to that, you know, what was that journey like to that point?
Sure. Education. I always went to public school until high school, and then I went to like this very weird alternative private school at Young and Eglinton, which doesn't even
exist. Why was it weird?
It was weird in the sense that the classroom sizes were like 10 kids, and okay. You called your teacher by their first names. It was like super hippy dippy like that. But, so I think academically it was really good and like prepped me for school and whatever. But then socially was really weird. Then I went to like college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so I took English literature, which I don't.
Lots of people don't know what they want to do when they go to college. I can tell you that right now.
A lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, we've said it several times in this podcast that it is such unnecessary pressure to expect kids that age to know what they want to do with the rest of their lives, right?
Absolutely.
You know, at that point, you're still figuring so many things out, right? So you should be given the freedom to try stuff and change your mind and all that.
Yeah.
So trust me, you're not the only one. If you say you didn't know what you wanted to do when you went to college, that's perfectly okay.
Exactly.
And then I graduated. Still had no idea. And then so my mom actually, I don't know if you know this, Sarah, my mom worked at Sears. So there was like that.
That's a fun fact.
So okay. Hashtag nepotism. She got me in the door. It helped. It really did. So she got me in the door. So I was at Sears for almost 3 years. 2014 to 2017. I was a category.
Really?
Yeah, I was at Sears for a while. I was at the HQ of, like, I want to say Young and Dundas, where all, like, the buyers and everybody was.
Right, the main office.
Yeah, and then I got put on Corey's team in digital, and then that's where, like, I met you and all the stars aligned. And,
yeah. That's crazy for me. I thought you were new there because I never ran into you at the main head office, and I was there, like, I think 2 years before I got moved into. Yeah,
really?
Exactly. It came from the buying teams. It's crazy.
That is crazy because that just goes to show you, like, Sears was massive.
So marketing, right? Digital, you know, how did you decide? How did you go from English to marketing? You know, what was that journey for you?
That's the question. I don't know. That's
the question.
To be so honest, it's because it was this job that I got and that it just led. It was like, because I got this job as a marketing coordinator at Sears, and then I was category coordinator, and then I went to digital, it seemed like this natural progression.
From the experiences you were accumulating so far. That makes sense.
Exactly. And because I had the experience and because I enjoyed aspects of that role, it led me to kind of where I am today, if that makes sense.
Which is where are you today?
So I am doing digital marketing for a really good company. It's a lot of it's like doing a lot of decks and writing and project management. And I'm really happy because the team is rock solid. They're so nice. They're so collaborative. They're very lovely people. And I really enjoy it.
That's amazing. Just the last person that we spoke to, which was in one of our episodes with Mira, and I remember her highlighting the fact how important it is to work with a team that you're comfortable with. You know that they have that same amount of trust in you. They're with you in your progression, and I feel like that's something that you're bringing importance towards as well. That, you know, the team that you work with, irrelevant of the company that you're working with, whether it's a larger organization or a smaller organization, if you're with a team of people that you can completely trust them, that passion
that's
for
right.
your job automatically just flows out, right? It's something that you enjoy doing even more, regardless of what your experience has had been. If you're given that enablement with your team at the same company, then you would enjoy your job even more.
Yeah, I say congratulations to anyone who is part of a good team,
absolutely,
right? A team that makes you feel supported and motivated to come to work, because a lot of people are stuck in jobs where it's just a means to an end. They,
right,
you know, if they had the chance, they would bail in a second, right?
Right.
So if you're lucky enough to be one of the people who, you know, you have a job that you love going to with people that you love working with, it makes you more productive, right? It makes you instantly more productive because your collaboration is on another level, right? You're not afraid to ask questions. You're not afraid to look stupid or feel judged because you don't know, oh, if I ask this thing, will they think I'm stupid? If everyone feels like this is a team and we're working toward the same goals, no one is afraid to ask questions.
That reminds me of this joke. This person, one time, he was my mentor for a short while. And I remember asking him, and I'm just like, oh, this might be a stupid question to ask. And he's like, no. Remember one thing. There are no stupid questions, just stupid people. And I was like, no, don't say that.
Fair enough. But the only thing I say is the only stupid questions are the ones you don't ask.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good one too.
Yeah.
I also find when you're working with people you love and you're enjoying what you're doing, the time goes by.
It
flies by. Like all of a sudden you look, it's always, for me, it's always 3 p.m. I don't know why, but all of a sudden I'm like, hey, how is it 3 p.m.? Like, literally, yeah. Where did the day go? It's
right,
so crazy,
right.
But it's the best. It's right. A really good thing,
that's,
I think.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. And so you do that, right? And the time's flying by, but you have this whole other thing that you're interested in, and it's food. What is that about?
Yeah.
Let's break that down, because one of the reasons I think you're interesting is because, again, you're this person who, you work in corporate, you know, you have a day job, you keep that down, and then you still have time to build out this whole other interest. And that's what I think is really interesting. So tell us about, how did you get into it? What is it? And what are your plans for this? Because everything just looks so colorful and everything just looks like,
right?
Just makes you hungry all the time.
It's like she's using all her digital marketing strategies on her secretary board.
I know that our listeners... Right. I know our listeners don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to give you the chance to tell us, what is this obsession with food and how can we be more like you? That's what I want to know.
I don't know where this is. Oh, God. Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for hyping up my channel. That's so sweet. You guys are so fucking sweet. So I have a Instagram account called Charcuterie Board Queen. This started in 2017.
Mm-hmm. We're going to put the links to that in the footnotes of the episode. So whoever's listening, you can go click on there, like, follow, and get hungry quickly.
Yes. Oh, you're so sweet. I love you guys so much. It started because I just was into making charcuterie boards. Like, I just mm-hmm. love the process. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. And also, mm-hmm. like, very therapeutic just to, like, place. Delicately placed food. It's like food art. It's mm-hmm. a thing, I guess.
Yes, that's what it is. Right? That's what it is.
So I started that, and then it just became like a thing. And so I would, you know, back in 2017, would like have people over, or you know, my mom would have a dinner. She'd be like, "Can you
nice.
Put your like little charcuterie?" So I loved. I was like, "Oh, it's fun for me to like gram it." And then I also was so obsessed with taking pictures. Mm-hmm. I just started that channel because I'm like, I don't want it on my main.
It's ridiculous. It's so gorgeous. Much color. Like I just, as you were talking, I just popped on Instagram now and I immediately regretted it because I can't get up to go eat something now, right? So I have to stay and do the rest of the episode. But this is incredible. Like,
right?
Just look at the burst of color, Sarah.
It's amazing.
Like,
it's so artistic.
So for the listeners, I'm holding up my phone to the screen, right? So, and this is the Instagram, right? And this is ridiculously colorful, and I'm hungry.
It's so creative.
This is so,
and you would see
so
that
cool.
Every single image has something going on. There's a hint mm-hmm. of either there's a lot of colors, or there's a lot of variety, or you know, it's just displayed so artistically, right?
Jeez.
That looks very appetizing.
I'm like,
and the photography.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's Let me just tell you. So I'll just say, like, it kind of morphed in from charcuterie boards, but I just kept the name to just me taking pictures of food because, I don't know, I just enjoy it. It makes me feel good. And then now, since we're in quarantine, it's, like, literally bagels. Like, it's so not. But I'm like, so now, because my old roommate, Richa, who's, like, she has her own, like, lifestyle Instagram account called Coco Way Travel, but she's all about like photography, or I guess, like, so she's like, no, you have to, like, do it, you can't,
so
do
it's a match, it's a match made in heaven then, because you guys, she could tell you tricks and tips and stuff, and you guys make each other better. That's awesome.
Exactly. So, like, with these pictures now, I'm all about portrait mode on my phone. So I go to and it's like, move away, blah, blah, blah. And then once you have my process, I'll tell you, you have the picture. And then I, instead of putting a filter on, I like to edit it. And then you just edit, like, saturation. So I think that's also too, why it's very colorful. It's like,
take notes, people.
This is awesome. And I've been telling friends, you know, and loved ones for a while, I'm like, if you have one of these bad boys, especially the newer phones, you really, unless you're going to be shooting a movie, you really don't need, like, an extra camera. Because this stuff right here, like, we're carrying ridiculously powerful cameras in our pockets all day, every day. And you just need to learn how to use them, right? And the pictures I'm seeing here, if these are all photos you took on your phone and you just spent a little bit of time doing some editing, this is just making my point right here. That's amazing.
And it's funny how it just started out of a hobby, out of just love for food, I guess, right? And it grew into something so much more professional because your passion just drove you towards there. And it's one of those things that you're manifesting so much, you know, so much passion and love into your interest that things are just coming your way. People are just coming your way. Your friend is coming your way when it comes to, like, taking pictures. It's amazing.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. I will let you get back to the story, but this is too awesome to not talk about.
No,
go ahead, please.
That's literally the story that I told it. Yeah. All right, finish. But
this is awesome stuff.
That's just not it.
I gotta ask you. I gotta ask you. So you have time to do the charcuterie board, and then you have time to co-host a podcast. What is going on?
Everything.
What is going on?
You're a superwoman.
So Lindsay is also the co-host of the Bougie Weekly podcast, right? And what is the Bougie Weekly podcast?
So you guys, you're the best.
Please tell me you're still talking on that about Gen Zs.
Actually, in one of the episodes, we kind of did. I'll tell you about that. But basically, no, I just love that you're like, you have time for this. And, like, it's literally taking a picture to edit it.
You're underplaying it.
No, hold on. But it's literally, okay, so it's literally taking a picture and editing it, but more people don't do it.
Oh, that's true. Okay, right. That's fair.
So
the podcast came out, so I don't know about you, because you guys are also podcast people. I'm a podcast junkie, so I love
I'm raising my hand right here,
right? I think 2017, I'm telling you, like, that was the year everything just, like, when I came on board to that team at Sears. And I was really, I feel like when you're busy and you're happy doing what you like to do, all of a sudden things just come into place. And I feel like 2017 was just a good year because like that's when I started Charcuterie Board Queen. And then I just started inhaling podcasts. And one of them was, I really like Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard.
Because
I'm a fan of, like, a really good interview. And I kept playing with this idea of, like, I'll start a podcast, but what do I want to say? What do I want to talk about? All this stuff. And so with Bougie, I went to my friend Sonia from Sears. And she's somebody, like, she is the kind of person who is, like you guys, like, she could talk to anybody about anything and just keep it going. And she's very interested in people. And you know, ask really good questions. So I
I remember, like, literally, like, in 2017, maybe, or maybe 2018, I met her at a cafe, and I was like, do you want to do this with me? And she was like, yeah, I'm down. And then, of course, it was just, neither of us got our shit together, and we didn't really do anything. And then the pandemic hit, and I was like, Sonia, like, we have time now, let's do it. And she's like, let's do it. So we just, it came to be. And then we initially wanted to title the podcast Bougie But Bro, but because I think our whole thing was like, we wanted to talk about this. It started as the idea of like a millennial and like what millennials' relationship with money is, because there's this stereotype of like, well, we're never going to be like our parents and own a house and pay for a mortgage, but we like experiences. We eat avocado toast. We like, you know, that stereotype. So it was sort of like going based off that of like trying to leave these very sort of bougie lifestyles, but not really having the means to do. So it's all kind of
right.
And so we wanted to name it Bougie But Bro, but like, you know, there's already a podcast out there called Bougie But Broke, which is the exact same concept. And I was like, wow, really? It goes to show you, like, when you have an idea, just do
it. Otherwise, just do it. Because that time between 2018 and when you actually started, who knows, right?
And they started it after when I thought of that idea. And I was like,
there you go. They literally just stole it from you. They read your mind.
Literally, two girls talking about the exact same thing.
Did you think of, was there 5 minutes there where you thought about writing a strongly worded email and be like, yeah, give me back my name?
No. Because
I thought about it first.
No, I was kicking myself because I'm like, you know what? They made it happen. They actually did it. Whereas I didn't do anything. So how can I blame them? So we just thought, we're like, okay, let's just do the Bougie Weekly. And then it just kind of emerged from there. And it really, even though it's weekly, we don't keep to like a weekly schedule. It's like whenever we kind of feel like it. But it started out with that
idea, and then it kind of put us on this. Then we opened the door to like different topics. So we interviewed an astrologer. We interviewed my friend Priya, who's a PhD candidate. We interviewed this girl, this TikTok influencer with thousands of followers. Her name's Money with Cass, to educate us on different savings accounts and investing accounts and things like that. So we kind of opened the door a bit, which I'm glad.
So it's basically about like talking about different topics that are related to a particular subject or just how they're going about with their day to day. Is that
exactly? We
we always like to pick a theme each each time we do it, and then surround the episode around that theme.
Okay. But to the Gen Z trashing, I'll just say, my friend, because the last episode we did was about responsibility, and my friend Priya was like, ugh, Gen Z, like, what? I don't get Gen Z. Like, what are they about? I'm like, Priya, you can't get us canceled. I had to, like...
That sounds like a whole lot of fun, and I really applaud you for, you know, better late than never, right? You did get back on it, and you're making it happen. And you know what I'll do? I'll tell you, if you have a 30 to 90 minute sort of like teaser for your stuff, I will edit it into this episode and subsequent episodes as an ad to our listeners to let them know to come check out the Bougie Weekly.
She's just starstruck. She's like, oh my god, it's actually happening. I'm gonna go global.
My jaw is on the floor. You guys are so nice.
It does not take anything. All you gotta do, if you have one already, send it over. If you don't, make one very quickly and send it over, and I will edit it right in. And we will not just use it for this episode. We will use it for as long as we want to.
Oh, I love you! Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I just love the excitement in her eyes. I feel like she's about to cry.
I am. It's like so thoughtful. That's so thoughtful.
No, because us podcasters have to stick together. I will tell you, like, I can relate to you because – I'm also a podcast junkie, and I consume so many podcasts, and I cannot tell you how it felt for me the first time ever that I opened up Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify, and I saw our podcast on there. And it was right there. It was categorized. It was next to podcasts that I listened to. I was like, damn, this is real.
It's exciting when you get notifications that, hey, there's a new episode that has released, and it is your podcast, and it's all on the list, it's on the top. I'm gonna listen to myself.
It's insane, and also the way you started it, like, you know, a lot of these things do seem to, especially podcasts with two hosts, they do seem to start from work, and you know that's not surprising because that's where you meet most of the people that you meet, right? You spend a lot of your life at work, so yeah, for me and Sarah, it was kind of pretty much the same thing. It was like I just walked up to Sarah, I was like, yeah, we're making a podcast now, and Sarah's like,
let's do it. I think that should be the tagline for this episode. Let's do it, because pretty much every single individual that are here, we're all just getting into it.
It's like, you know, it's like a Nike moment. It's like, just do it. You know, so I can really, really relate to you, and anything that we can do to help, like if you have that trailer, teaser, whatever it is, and you can shoot that over to us, you will hear it in this episode and in subsequent episodes as well.
Bring it on.
Oh my God.
So you got marketing going on, you got the charcuterie board going on, and then you got the podcast going on.
It must be busy. I don't even want to get into your sister, because you already have so many things interesting going on at this point, just individually alone. I can just imagine how busy you must be with your, just surrounded with your family as well.
And what I wanted to ask was, you know, because I think apart from just, I think it's a great feeling to go over everything that a person is into, and make them talk about it, because I think sometimes we tend to judge ourselves a little too harshly. Subconsciously or consciously, we put these milestones and we put age tags to them and say, by the time we're 30, we want to be doing this. And by the time we're, you know, 35, we want to have accomplished this.
Right.
And because we're chasing that so hard, we forget to actually mark what we're actually doing.
Right.
So sometimes when you get the chance to be like, hey, what do you get up to? And then you go, oh, I have a charcuterie board and I am a marketing professional and I run a podcast.
And I'm just awesome.
It forces you to think about what you've accomplished, which is great, right? And that's one of the reasons why I love this podcast, because a lot of our guests come here, we have to convince them that they're interesting.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous to me. It's like, no, like, are you kidding? You're doing so much. But beyond that, what I wanted to talk to you about is, because I think a lot of listeners struggle with this, and a big reason why so many people don't do more is they think they just won't have the time. And that is a valid concern. But for those of us who we do it afraid, right? There's this thing about, I know you're afraid, but do it afraid, right? We do it afraid that we won't be able to keep it up, but somehow we make it happen regardless, right? For someone like you who's doing it regardless of the fact that you got this whole other job and you have these interests and you have to kind of make sure none of them would fail, how do you do your time management? That's my question. What is the time management tip or trick? And if there isn't one, be honest about that, because we want people to know that there's so many different kinds of people. Like, there are super organized people who do stuff like this, who have three or four things going on. And there are other people who are not super organized, but still they're tumbling through it and it's happening regardless.
And it takes a lot to take that step without being afraid of any failures. Right. And I feel like Lindsay is just a leading example of that, that even though she's been, you know, just getting her foot right into through the door and getting started into a lot of things, she's not afraid of where this is going to go. She's just starting out of her own true interest in these variety of different avenues.
Right. So how do you time manage? I think that is, if there was one useful real world implementable thing that I wanted to share with the listeners today, because we've talked about all these things that you're into. I'm sure there's someone listening and wondering, how does she actually get this stuff done? So how do you get this stuff done, Lindsay?
Oh my God. I love that you're asking me that of all people. It's just so funny. that's a really interesting question. I really like that you guys brought up the fear factor thing, because it's really interesting. I think when you want to start something,
how we said, like, just do it regardless of like how it turns out, whether it's homework, whether it's work, whether it's something creative that you are just sort of like
thinking about in your mind. Like,
if you fail, it's life experience at the very least.
You're kind of like, if you like write it down, like, you know how they say, like, in order to manifest or whatever, like, right, like, I'm grateful for this, even though it's not necessarily in your life, but it's like you're putting it out there into the universe. You're typing it. It's like now out of your head and in the physical world. So I think in terms of like that fear thing, just do it. And because who cares if you fail? Like you said, you'll just learn from the experience and then you can whatever. Right. In terms of time management, I mean, I'm going to be super honest. My time management I'm not great. I think when it comes to like professionally work, organized, I'm somebody like that always comes first, you know, write everything down. And then, but in terms of all the other things, I don't know if I necessarily have like a specific time management routine. I think it's because I enjoy doing it that it's just something that I now
do. So you prioritize accordingly.
There you go. Exactly. Right. That's a really good way of putting it. I prioritize accordingly. I know Sonia works full time. So, and I don't know how you guys are doing. You guys are very organized. In terms of the fact, like when you called me to do like an intro call, like that is so, it's just very like professional and organized. So I, as a guest, I really appreciate that. But we don't, like, I guess with the podcast, myself and Sonia, because we're both working, as you guys are too, we don't put like so much pressure on ourselves. We kind of do it when we just feel like it, because it's more of like a fun thing, I guess. But yeah, as Sarah mentioned, in terms of time management,
you prioritize the things that you enjoy doing, because
I'm so grateful you brought this perspective, because one of the things that, you know, I wanted to bring out of this was there's more than one way to get stuff done. Some people are more, let's go with the flow, and other people have to kind of have everything or at least a big chunk of it mapped out before they even take that first step. Right. And I know which I know what kind of person I am, right? Of those two options, right? But I always tell people that care to ask me anyway. The folks that care to ask me, I say, you don't have to do it like I'm doing it. You can do it in your own way. Because if you force yourself into someone else's structure, whatever you're starting to be fun and something that enriches your life, and you find joy doing, you will very quickly start to resent it. Like, it will become work. It will become a chore to you, right? And so for me, like, I'm the kind of person, like, I live on Excel sheets. Like, I plan ahead. Like, we have a meeting, I'm there on time. I'm that kind of person. Like, I don't. And it's, you know, for people who have to work with me, for those who are like me, they really enjoy it. For other people who are kind of like, oh, it's not a big deal, you know, we'll do it when we get it. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. But if you're doing a project and you're doing it, you know, and this is how you are, and you're kind of like, I live life in the moment, I want to see it flow, then do that, because that's what's going to keep you doing it 10 years after.
Right.
If you try to do it someone else's way, because you think, oh, they're super organized and I want to be more like that. If that's a change you really want to make, then sure. But if you're just looking at it and be like, oh, that's the only right way to do it, then you're going to run into trouble, because 2 years down the line, if you make it to two right. years, right? 6 months down the line, you're going to be like, ah, oh, I'm so right. tired. Like, I can't keep
and
this
it's,
up.
It's like you can choose so, that for what do you want to put that time and that discipline into, right? Like, for example, I remember when I was in school, school was a big deal for me in that case, right? High school, oh, I was a total skipper. But when I came to college and I knew that I loved studying what I was studying, I was like out there 8 a.m. in the morning, sitting in class, the first person to be sitting in class, et cetera, right? That is where I wanted to be completely disciplined on top of my game. But other than that, when there are areas where I can take it a little easy, I feel like I'm rewarding myself with just being a little more relaxed, taking a bit more of a relaxed approach, I guess, right? When it comes to like waking up in the morning and maybe going to the gym, that's not so much of my thing. That's not my cup of tea. So other than how your personality is, I think it's really important to know what you really love and what you want to prioritize the most.
I think so. And so for you, Lindsay, I'm so glad you gave this perspective because, you know, I think what I'm glad for is you didn't feel pressure to come at me with some super deep answer and be like, oh, you know what? I wake up and I have a vision board. No, it's like, yeah, we do this.
Even though that's something I would expect from her.
We do this how we want to do it. You know what I mean?
Right? No, I do like that too. I like making visions.
Right.
Can I guess your sign? I love doing that.
Can you?
Your astrological sign.
Oh, you wouldn't be the first person to try to do that.
I love talking about that.
On the podcast. But go ahead.
Okay.
Good. Maybe. I think, are you a Virgo?
Why does everyone start there? Because that's the same thing. That's the same thing Jessica did. She first started and said, you sound like a Virgo. I am not a Virgo.
Are you an earth sign?
I don't know what those are, but I think I might be a fire sign. So that's narrowing down to you.
Oh, are you an Aries?
There you go.
Oh, okay. Because though I think there's Virgo in your chart. Because when you said...
My dad is Virgo, so maybe.
Maybe that's influence. Like, I think when you were like, I'm somebody, like, I love Excel. I love being early.
That's such
like,
a Virgo trait.
Like, that's so Virgo. That is so right. Virgo to me.
I think it might be a combination of maybe I don't know how much stock I put in these like signs, but I think a lot of it also goes back to like upbringing and just the things that were told, like I was told were the most important thing. Like for me, so I tend to overthink things, right?
And that's
with being early, it's like for me, it's like if I have an appointment with you, for example, I'm like, oh, we're supposed to be there at 10. I'm going to be there at 10 because if I make you wait 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes of your life that I've taken away from you. And I'm thinking, I've reduced your life by 5 minutes and your productivity by 5 minutes. And I feel guilty. So it's all these things, right? So for me, it's like, if I can plan ahead and be there ahead and come prepared and make this a productive session, I feel like I've used part of your life productively. Like it's like your time is part of your life that you've chosen to share with me. And I have no right to waste your life. It's kind of like I take time as a subset of
that was very deep.
Wow. You're never gonna...
You see how quickly I went down that rabbit hole?
100.
So it's like, That's Virgo.
But I have no idea why I'm like that, but it's just I cannot change it. And I, you know, I hope I get help soon, but it is just something
That's a really beautiful perspective. Yeah. I think I wish I had more of that. I'm Aquarius and I'm not blaming like my irresponsibility. I have this like very comfy, comfy, like,
right.
Yes, I love you. Like very like Spanish. I'll get there when I get there. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like there's definitely Virgo in your chart, but who knows? But okay, Sarah,
I'm Aries as well, and that was one of the reasons why I'm like, overthinker, it's true.
Okay. Yep. Got it.
But
well, that's
is,
why
but
you guys
is,
are so compatible as hosts.
But
hosts
here's
have
thing.
A very
here's
aligned way of thinking.
No, but here's the thing. Sarah and I are very, very different because Sarah is more of the let's see how it goes type of person. And I'm like, no, Sarah, we got to plan this out.
I'm more about living
like,
in the present.
And Sarah's
I think it's also because like with astrology, like I could come here and talk to you again about astrology because I'm so into that.
That's so cool.
Here's one of another interest of her. It. Oh my god. I feel like there's going to be another Instagram page popping up from her side just about astrology, Lindsay's astrology.
No. So it's like you're all about your big three, your sun, your moon, and your rising. So your sun, so you're both Aries, that's your sun. I'm an Aquarius. That is like the overarching, like your personality traits, all of that. Your moon is your emotions and how... Like, my moon is Pisces, so I'm very sensitive, and I'm easily touched, and I'm easily, like, you could see I was getting, like, worked up when you're like, oh, well, when you're at it, or what, like, that's me so thoughtful that whether it's, like, sad or happy, I get moved very easily. And then your rising, so, is how the world sees you. So, my rising is Leo. So, even though
there's a part of me that's, like, shy, which is like Aquarius and Pisces, and I'm also like I have not like a big personality, but there's like Leo in my chart too. So it's really interesting. So
It's cool to know it from a perspective that how you see yourself versus how you're seeing it from somebody else's lens as well, right? Like you see yourself as more of a like you mentioned, reflecting more towards the moon sign, right? Whereas we're seeing you more reflecting towards a fire sign that you explained it really well as well. Someone who's fierce, who has a lot of energy, who's bringing in a lot to the world. Meanwhile, you think that, oh, you're just going with the flow. I'm just like the water.
Yeah. Like I would plan. I remember going on a road trip from Vegas to California one time, and I kept thinking, we got to plan this out. We got to plan the stops. We got to plan, how we're going to swap the drivers. And I had my friends looking at me like, dude, let's just go. We can go, but that's fine. But I think another reason that I was more nervous than usual for that trip was this was a bunch of black folks driving across, state lines, right? And this was the U.S. we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is, we got to kind of have a plan so that we don't get into trouble because I think it was so it was a mix of my natural like tendency to plan things out. And the fact that this was like five black people who are going to be in a car driving across state lines. And I know how messed up it is that we even had to think about that and had to, but it was you've heard the stories, right? Like it doesn't take much to have things popping off, right? So it was like, okay, we had to plan this out.
Yeah. But I think Aries do have that bit of a perfectionist streak as well. Like I, according to me and some of my friends, and now that I see that in you too, BB, it's like we get this ultimate satisfaction when we know everything. Or when we're on top of what we know, right? And there's not too much uncertainties around us. So I guess it's a bit of your experience for sure. It's a little bit of our astrology as well. And it's just how we've been raised, where we're living, in the environment that we are, who's influencing us the most, what state of mind we are as well, right? That really affects it as well. Like if you're not... For having one of those years where in your lows, then your decision-making process is going to be completely different than, like Lindsay mentioned, she had her year was 2017 compared to any other years, right? So I think your state of mind impacts a lot as well.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we've had such a fun conversation, and it's funny because we had so many technical issues coming into the episode, and I was telling Lindsay like, hey, don't worry about it, like some of our best episodes have happened right after we spent like an hour troubleshooting and trying to get things going. So this is just one of those as well. Like I feel like this has been a really, really great episode, and I'm so glad that we got to talk to you about a whole range of things. And I wish we could keep this going, but we do have to start to wrap things up here. So let's go on a quick break and then let's come back and then we'll end the show. Not really. We did tell you we were going to ask you, but we will ask you the question that we love to ask all our guests, and we will be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Hey
Hey guys, welcome to the Bougie Weekly.
Hey Lens, can you let our listeners know why they should listen to us? Because they should.
That's true. They should because we have no idea what we're doing, but we decided to do this so we could learn on this journey together. We want to talk to millennials about millennials and their relationship with money.
Yeah, so it's for every girl, guy, whoever had a humbling moment with money, because we definitely did.
100%.
So give us a listen every Wednesday.
And we'll see you soon.
And
yes,
we're
here. Back.
Okay, let's go. And you know, if you guys are anything like me, I've had such a great time having this conversation with Lindsay and I want to say thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for being so open about your process, your journey, or lack of a process. you know, I think it is very, very useful for people who are doing things that others might be interested in to be honest about their process and honest
Absolutely.
About how they do it. You know, if that is a structured thing, be honest mm-hmm. about it. If it is not a structured thing, mm-hmm. be honest about it, right? I think that will encourage more people to say, ha, if she's as, you know, scattered as I am, or he's as scattered as I am, and she's still making it, you know, happen,
exactly.
then I can do it too. Like, I'm scattered too. I want, you know, and I always thought that was going to be a barrier to entry, but here's someone else who's just as scattered as I am, and they're, you know, they're doing it. So maybe I can
Absolutely.
Too. And that's kind of what we, want to encourage here. But you know what, Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing this way. And at this point, we like to ask our guests the question. And that is, with everything that you know today, what is something you wish you'd known sooner? If you had the chance to go back in time and speak to baby Lindsay, what would you tell her? What would you want to say? Hey, girl, like, you need to know this sooner. Like, I'm coming from the future. What would that be?
Well, first off, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate it. I love what you guys do.
Pleasure.
You know, the stuff that you're putting out there is really interesting. And the fact that you find people and you're also taking these stories, like your segment from around the world, I think is so
my cool. favorite.
Our favorite. Make you show up, Buzz, baby.
Like, I would have never known.
Okay, sorry, Sarah. Our favorite segment. Sorry.
I would have never known about, you know, that gentleman, Hector, that you spoke
Hector
of.
Hector Guadalupe, so. Yep.
Yeah, so thank you for, you know, talking about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what I would have said to my younger self. I would just say, you know what? I was so self-conscious, especially growing up in middle school and high school, like just so ashamed of like my body, of just
no
everything.
Way.
Oh
no
yeah.
Way.
So it was like,
yeah, just very insecure. And I just
was that all internalized, or were kids being mean? Because kids can be mean. Was that
no,
was there any of that or not?
It was
just
me.
You.
It was me. It was just, yeah, I mean, you know, it's
yeah, that adolescent stage. Exactly. You do
girls.
Tend to like compare yourself to what's on social media
it's
and
tough.
Doubt it.
Yeah, and like not to mention like we grew up in a time of like early 2000s where it was all just like, you know, MTV reality shows and
world looking a certain way. And if you kind of didn't look a certain way, you just, for me, I felt super insecure. So I would just say, you know what, like
it, who cares? You don't want to peak in high school anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And just who cares? Like, let it just like
who
whatever
cares?
You're
I
holding
like
onto, whatever anxiety and like, just let it go because it's going to get better and you're going to be so much more happier, fulfilled. The older
That's
you get,
true.
The more confident you're going to get.
That's
and,
true.
Yeah.
That is great advice. That is great advice. And the only thing I would say to that is, unfortunately, not too many people going through it would listen to you. That's the sad part, is you kind of, because even while you're going through it, you kind of know, like, who cares? But it's just so big and important to you in that moment that it's just what's, it's just what's front and center in your mind. And I think, you know, in that adolescence age and that phase that you go through, everyone goes through that. And I know, like, if you had, like, the benefit of, like, an older sibling or a parent who cared enough to talk to you about it, and they said, dude, like, who cares? You would hear them, but you wouldn't really, like, listen.
Yeah. No,
you know
you're
what
absolutely
I mean?
Right, because it's so easy for us or for me now to just, like, well, who cares? But
exactly.
If somebody's listening, it's like, well, I still have to go to school every day, and I
exactly.
still feel this
exactly.
way.
And it's, and it's really important.
I don't know.
Because I don't know. Yeah.
Everybody go on. Let's just all speak at once.
No, sorry. I was just gonna say I don't know that I would have listened. Like, a lot of the things that I cared about at the time that were so important for me, now I look back and I'm like, that was such a waste of time. Like, I could have been doing other things, and putting other things in my mind. But I know for a fact that if someone had said, dude, like, just let it go,
yeah,
I'd be like,
exactly,
yeah, you just don't
exactly.
understand, right?
To speak to that, you're absolutely right. There's a TED Talk. I don't know this woman's name. It's going to bug me. But she talks about how she is, like, a PhD professor at Harvard or some very, you know, good school. And there was this girl in her class, and she said, and I'm going to get, like, emotional talking about it because she got worked up talking about this. But she says to the girl, you have to participate, because if you don't speak up, like, it's going to affect your grade. So you have to participate. And I goes, but I'm really shy and I'm self-conscious. And I have like, not stage fright, but she's like, I get self-conscious speaking up in front of people. And she's like, you just have to do it. And so one day in the class, she spoke this point and everybody kind of turned, because she was so eloquent and articulate with what she was trying to say. And she had never spoken up before, and she got a good grade and all this, but to the woman's point was this whole thing of, like, fake it, not the saying, like, fake it till you make it. No, fake it till you become it. So whatever you're feeling, just, you're gonna, if you want to be
do
confident,
it afraid.
Face your fears.
Do it exactly.
Yeah. To your point, maybe do it afraid, and just keep doing it. And
that's a really important message. That's very true. And, like, I would say the same thing, that people who are going through that, is just, you got to face it at this point, right? And just get out of it and know what else is important to you. Is it something? I mean, you could do a root cause analysis and try to get to the problem of it, right? That what is it that's driving this fear? What is it that's driving this insecurity? But it doesn't mean that your fear or whatever you're conscious about is invalid at the time that you're going through. I mean, today I look back and I sometimes beat myself down to, why was I failing in my test in grade 6? That's like games play. That's like child's play, right? But at that time, that was the toughest thing I ever did. And today, maybe there are certain things that I'm afraid about, or people are afraid about today. And maybe 10 years from now, it's not even going to be a problem. It's probably going to be a speck of everything that you're going through. But that doesn't mean that the fear that you were going through at that time was invalid. It's just, you've learned how to deal with it better with time.
Yeah. It's a simple concept, and I don't know if this has ever been spoken about in more scientific terms, but it's just one of the rabbit holes I went down thinking and overthinking things as usual. One of the things that I concluded after that particular session of overthinking was, everything is relative to your level of experience and
consciousness.
That's
our capacity.
At the time. So something is big to you, because up until that time, your experiences have added up to something that is smaller than this thing that you're looking at. When you have more experience,
absolutely,
that thing looks smaller to you, but it itself does not change. And so, like you were saying, Sarah, like, don't invalidate what someone is thinking, or how big they seem to be thinking something is, because to them, their experiences leading up to that point makes that to be the biggest thing to date, right?
And so this is why it's one of my favorite questions, like our favorite questions to ask as well, right? What is one advice that you could give yourself when you're younger? It's because you've grown so much since then that what is it that you would look back and be conscious about going forward or telling the people that you want to influence around, right? It's just so important to reflect that even on a day-to-day basis. How am I better than yesterday? What am I going to do tomorrow that's going to make me a better person from who I am today?
And the only advice that I would give you, Sarah, is don't come on the podcast on video wearing a Batman t-shirt.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to talk about my headphone situation this morning. Because, but
No, because what I want to know is where is my Batman t-shirt? That's what I want to know, right?
Honestly, it's not even mine.
I figured.
That's the easiest answer. You know how like, you go to your guests and sometimes they tell you that? Yes,
I figured you had to steal this one.
I remember when you have to like tell someone and it's like, oh, it's not mine. I just got gifted by my nanny. You just don't want to tell them where you purchased it from.
Yeah.
Like, don't steal my idea. Yeah. Don't steal
Because that's a really, really cool t-shirt and I want one. I'm just saying.
Of course.
But look. Lindsay, thank you so much for talking to us. And you know, where can people find you? Is there anything that you would like to plug at this point? Social media, you got to go check out the Charcuterie Board Instagram, man. Like, amazing, right?
Just don't do it when you're hungry.
I know. It's torture when you're hungry, but it's amazing any other time. So tell us, where can people find you? You know, on the internet, on social media.
You can find me at Charcuterie Board Queen on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find me at The Bougie Weekly on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you want to.
Is that check The Bougie out my... Weekly or The Bougie Weekly Podcast?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that you make a really there good you point. Go. You got it right. It's The there Bougie you... Weekly.
I'm a real podcast. Fan. I'm you a true know! Believer. I'm a true believer.
You
what
know
are you talking about? Really what are you talking about?
I love it. Thank you, yes. The Bougie Weekly Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We mostly just update our Instagram, but if you want to listen to our podcast as well. Thank you.
And it's everywhere pods are cast. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it is.
Amazing.
I'm just gonna jump on top of that and say we are on social media as well. We are mostly on Instagram as well. We are Interesting Humans Pod on Instagram, and we are everywhere pods are cast. Thank you to I was checking a couple of days ago, Sarah. We're at 52 countries now. That is incredible. So
you're gonna be heard everywhere.
That is incredible to me because it's just like we make something
from where we started
in our bedrooms or our living rooms, and it goes out to the whole world. It's like, wow, that's insane. But
we gotta pat our back.
When did you guys start? I'm so curious.
Our first episode went out January 2020.
Been about a year and a few months.
Oh, okay, yeah.
January 2020. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's an organic podcast. We grow very organically. Our, you know, our listeners tell other listeners to listen, and that's how we grow.
This was pre-pandemic.
Yeah, this is pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This was a couple months pre-pandemic.
Wow,
yeah.
You were on something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Perfect timing.
So we were traveling.
We used to go about meeting people. We would have done this in person if this was not, you know, if the pandemic didn't force us to find other ways to do stuff. We would have
forced you to bring a charcuterie board with us too.
So we are so grateful to be doing this. We also are everywhere: Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever it is that you find your podcasts on. We're right there. And we just want to say once again, Lindsay, thank you so much
for doing this. It was amazing talking to you, learning about myself through the astrology conversation we had. Like, other than the fact that I got to know you on a different level and how versatile you are, how strong your personality is, how interesting you are outside of Sears, I think this was an amazing time for us to even reflect on ourselves and our accomplishments through your story and experiences. And we cannot be any more grateful than this to have you on our podcast. So thank you so much.
Right. And, sweetest.
And to our listeners, watch out for that exciting new promo ad that's going to be playing in our breaks, because we are doing that starting from this episode and going forward. So that's a thing now. And please do go check out their podcast. It's, you know, podcasters have to stand together. So,
Thank you so much. I love what you do. Keep doing what you're doing. Because it's incredible and interesting. Pun intended. Thank you so much.
All puns intended. Thank you. And you know, at this point, we will say thank you and watch out for our episodes coming out every other Tuesday. And before you know it, we will be back talking to another interesting human. And until then, Sarah, you want to take this one?
Stay interesting, human.
I can't believe you nailed it. This is the first time you've nailed it in a while. Did you not have coffee today? Was that it?
Oh my God, you're calling me.
Because anytime you have coffee, you don't nail that. No. This is
a
recurring
thing.
I did see.
It could be something to do with the extra large coffee deals that's been going on at McDonald's for a dollar. It's pretty much any size, and I go for the extra large. Starbucks girl,
So I'm surrounded by coffee. Coffee heathens today. Okay, that's fine.
Oh my God, baby! Remember our last episode of the conversations around Nespresso?
I know.
It's going to be incorporated in every episode going forward.
Oh my goodness. But for all that matters is you nailed it this time. Stay interesting, humans. And until next time, you know, just stay safe, stay sane, and take care of yourselves. Bye now.
Bye.